Now, the post-trib view at the very bottom, I'm sorry, second from the bottom, has real problems. Because what they're saying is we go through the tribulation, and then it's like an elevator. We're brought up, only to be brought back down to the earth. A lot of people believe that. A lot of people teach that. Can I ask a simple question? If that's true, why did he say he's preparing for us heavenly dwellings if we're not even going to use them? Why prepare a dwelling for me if I'm only there for half a second? I mean, at least the pre-trib view has an answer. We're there for 7 years. Mid-trib view has an answer. We're there for 3.5 years. Three-quarters view has an answer. We're there for the final 25% of the tribulation period. Post-trib, they have no explanation for it at all. That's why they're going to start to spiritualize the heavenly dwellings, and they're going to start to lecture you and look down on you because you take it too literally. See that? They've got a real problem with these heavenly dwellings. Hal Lindsey, in a really good book he wrote about the rapture, says, since he says that he is going to come in order that we may be with him where he is, we would have to be with him here on the earth. He's critiquing post-trib. Do you see the problem? The dwelling places in the Father's house would be unused. This makes Jesus' whole promise ridiculous. Why would he speak of preparing a place for us in the Father's house if he didn't mean that his return would take us there? So as you look through these alternative positions, believer's death, believer's salvation, Christ's resurrection, coming of the Holy Spirit, the non-pre-trib views, they don't handle the language of John 14, verses 1 through 4. So to make a long story short, here's what we call the BLT. Bottom line time. What's the bottom line? John 14, 1 through 4 is a rapture position. And we've tried to demonstrate that by looking at 5 preliminary reasons why we should be open to a rapture view, pre-trib rapture view, in John 14, 1 through 4. Number 2, the exegesis of the passage demonstrates it's a rapture, pre-trib rapture position. And then we've sort of looked at the arguments of the opposition, and we've shown that none of their views make any sense in light of what is revealed here. So I hope that what we've accomplished here in the last, gosh, what has it been, an hour and a half? Sorry, David, I'm only supposed to talk for an hour. Is confidence in the pre-trib rapture. I hope you walk out of here comforted, and you recognize that Titus 2:13, the rapture that's coming next on the prophetic calendar, is our blessed hope. Amen? That's the BLT, bottom line time. And, you know, you may be here today saying, what in the world is this all this stuff about? I don't know anything about this. Well, here's the deal. If you're in Christ, you're tied into this promise, whether you want to be or not. You know, there's some people that when the rapture happens, I think they're going to go up kicking and screaming because their charts are all wrong. Because if you're in Christ, you're going. Amen? The rapture is not something you earn. It's like salvation. It's free. Once you're in Christ, you get many benefits, including your participation in this event, either this side of eternity being caught up, or you're with those in the presence of the Lord who are being brought down, and the two groups meet in the sky for a reunion. But you are in this event if you're in Christ. So how do you get in Christ? You got to not smoke or chew or go with girls who do, right? No, salvation is a free gift. Jesus said on the cross, it is 75% done, and you kick in the final 25%. He said it's finished. So you receive it as a gift. Now how do you receive a gift from God? By faith. Plus nothing. Romans 4 and verse 5 says, to the one who does not work but believes. That's the only way you're getting in on this, is to receive this gift from God. The only way to do that is by faith. What does it mean to believe? It just means to trust, to rely upon. So you hear the gospel, the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. It is finished. And you trust in that message. You trust in that message for the safekeeping of your soul. It's not just intellect, I believe it. It's your trusting in it. See that? Charles Blondin used to stretch a tightrope across Niagara Falls. And he would walk back and forth across that tightrope. And then he would do it blindfolded. And then he would do it pushing a wheelbarrow. And the crowds, boy, would they gather to watch him do this. And one day he yelled out to the crowd, "Do you believe that I can walk across this tightrope blindfolded, pushing a wheelbarrow?" And everybody said, "Yes, we believe." And Blondin said, "Which one of you then wants to get in the wheelbarrow?" That's a little different, right? That's not just intellect anymore, that's trust. And that's how you get saved. You trust in what Jesus has done. So, you know, if you want to do that now and you're unsaved, you can do that right. You can take care of business right now with God. And if it's something you need more explanation on, I'm available. David's available. Ron's available to talk to you about that. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for this group that's been working all day. They're tired and they listened to a long lecture on grammar and things. And I know that can be very fatiguing, but I just thank you for this group and thank you for their willingness to sacrifice in this way to learn new truths about your word. And I pray that you'll be with us for this whole conference as we continue on in this vein and learn more and more about your word. We'll be careful to give you all the praise and the glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. And tomorrow morning I'll be doing, tomorrow, four presentations. Now I want to comfort you. What I did tonight was the most fact-heavy of all my talks. So tomorrow there's four of them, but they'll be a little bit more digestible. So at this time, I'll turn it back over to the leadership. Thank you.